This morning I want to talk to, in particular to this congregation, about breaking free from what we call the ceilings of limitation. What is a ceiling of limitation? A ceiling of limitation may be something that is within your personal life that you know that's been there for quite some considerable time, but you can't seem to break free from it. The Bible said that the big game of the church is that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, to bring down every aspect and area that the devil would try to influence and infiltrate the body of believers for being all that Christ had called them to be. What happens is that God's got a plan for every life, but so does the enemy to stop you becoming all that God intended for your life to be. And I think that sometimes in our lives there are certain particular levels of limitation that are set over our lives. Sometimes we allow them personally to be a part of our life. Sometimes they're brought upon us unwillingly, unknowingly, and we need to make sure that we resist them steadfastly in faith so that God could have a great victory and great breakthrough in our lives. The scripture highlights several figures who faced what we call a ceiling that they couldn't, a ceiling on them that they could experience because of the limits of their faith in Christ. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. So lots of what God is doing in our lives are preparational periods for what God wants to do in our lives in an extraordinary way in the future. The stories of these believers show how unbelief, fear, or doubt can resist a person's potential, acting as what we call an invisible barrier or an invisible ceiling that blocks spiritual progress, blocks things like healing and the full realization of God's promises toward our life. Every believer has what we call a personal journey to walk through, and it's important that you understand your personal journey and you understand your corporate position in the life of the church. There's no one that's been brought to the kingdom to be an attender, to be somebody that just looks at what goes on the platform. The church has been gifted by God, and it is to be radiant in the world, not just on Sunday, but in every 24 hours of our day. We represent and as ambassadors of God in a world that needs Him. And so we need to be getting victories. We need to be progressing. We need to be moving on in the things of God personally so that the church corporately can come into greater revelation, greater understanding, and greater experience in what God wants to do. To bring and formalize what we call to bring and formalize outcomes for people that serve God so that God could gain the glory through the service that we do in His name. When we as the church glorify God, it brings glory to God and we see breakthroughs of great healing and deliverance and people being set free. Breaking through a ceiling of limitation sometimes can be very difficult to what we call identify the very ceiling, the very distinct issue that's holding you back from being all that God can be in your life. When God called the church, He didn't call them to the ordinary. He called them to be extraordinary in Him. He never called the church just to walk in the same vein of their pre-salvation. He called them to walk in an extraordinary experience in Him. So hence he gave us things like the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He gave us things like the gifts of the Holy Spirit to arise and build the church in our generation and in our time. No generation is different from the other. It's just passed on different revelation to the other so that that next generation would be more committed, more enlarged to be what God wanted it to be. So this generation needs to pass on to the next generation a monopoly of great power, a monopoly of no restraint, a monopoly of great faith to see God do amazing things in the community in which we began to serve God within. So God wants to touch the people in this world. He wants to touch people's lives in an extraordinary way. We're going to put a scripture up for you right now in Mark chapter 2 there in verse 1 to 12. We're going to read through that there if you've got your Bible, your scriptures. And again, this is Jesus. And again, he entered Capernaum, and after some days, it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, trying to limit everything like normal. "Why does this man speak blasphemy like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your heart?" Which is easier to say, to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven you," or to say, "Arise, take up your bed and walk." But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on the earth to forgive sins, I say to you, the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. And immediately he rose up, took up his bed and went in the presence of them all, so that they were all amazed. They begin to glorify God, saying, "We have never seen such like this." Breaking limits with the word of faith means that breaking limitations through scripture involves meditating on God's word. It means dismantling spiritual, physical, and mental barriers. And the Bible provides powerful verses, powerful scripture to enlighten us to be able to overcome and overpower boundaries of past obstacles, things that have held us back for years, and ceilings of progress that have been over us, keeping us down, keeping us limited, keeping us hindered from what God wants to do. We need to recognize the existence of these ceilings to break free. Our trust and our faith in God's word and his promises must return to the forefront of our salvation. They must return to the forefront of our salvation. We need to believe God. We need to trust him. What's your name?
Aidan,
come here. Come here, brother. I really like you.
Thank you.
You're a good man. Come over here with me. I want you to come and help me preach this sermon. Righto? Because you've underestimated the call of God upon your life. You're a visionary, Aidan, a man of God, a great man of God. But you know what? Internally, we've got to have a dream. We've got to have a vision. I want us to understand that the scripture talks about a man having a dream or a vision for somebody else that needed God, not just themselves, but somebody that else that needed God. Aidan has a paralytic friend. He doesn't know that yet, but he has one. And that paralytic friend that Aidan has, Aidan has heard that Jesus was in the house and he was preaching the word of God. And Aidan, just sitting at home, gets a revelation and an understanding of God. Wonder if I took my paralytic friend to the house where Jesus is preaching, maybe, just maybe, he might get healed, he might get saved. But you know what? Hayden realizes that he can't, not bad, pretty good. Hayden realizes that he cannot carry a 75 kilo paralytic 16 kilometers down the road from Samaria to Capernaum to get healed. He can't do it alone. So he needs friends. So we need to put names upon the guys, the nameless men of the book of Luke, the nameless men of the book of Luke, chapter 2, book of Mark, chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. What's your name there, son? Yeah, I'm looking at you, nobody else. You're looking away, but I'm looking at you. Yeah, you. No, I'm not looking at him. I'm looking at you. What's your name, son? Come here. Come and stand out here. What's your name?
Jaden. Say to the crowd.
Jaden.
Jaden?
Yeah.
Jaden, you come here. Come over here and stand with Aiden. Come right over here, Jaden. All right, you come and stand over here. So Aiden's just convinced Jaden that we need to take a paralytic down a 16 kilometre road in a mat to get him to the house where Jesus is preaching. Jaden, unfortunately, has a few limitations. Jaden's already got his day planned. He's going to the football. He's going to watch Manchester United play Liverpool, and it's the first ticket of the year. He's finally got it, and he's there. But Aiden has a dream. Aiden's a man of God. Aiden doesn't just have a dream, he has a revelation. He has an understanding that's deep on the inside of him about God changing and shifting lives. So he says to Jaden, hey man, we've got to forget the football for a time period. What we've got to do is we've got to believe that we could take our friend to the house where Jesus is preaching the word. Maybe he might just get healed, he might just get saved. So Jaden, a little bit reluctantly, but yeah, okay. See how long it took me to get him out of the chair? Reluctance, it'll kill everything. Bit reluctant, he says, oh yeah, I think I'll buy into this vision. I think I'll help him, I think I'll do. I'll come in and help this guy. But even Jaden and Aiden realise there's no way in Harry those two are going to be able to pick up a 75 kilo guy and march him 16 kilometres down the road from Samaria to Capernaum to get healed. So they need a few other friends. What's your name, bro? Yeah, you. What is it? You the singer up here? Come here, you. I like you. I like Mark. I like this kid. He's got something about him. Got a strong spirit. Good man of God. You're not just a follower, Mark. Come on. You've got to rise up the call of God. Yep, so Aiden's building quite a team here. Team of great men. Team. We've got to work on them a bit, but we'll get there. Yeah, yours are a lot better. Right, we've got to work on them. But, you know, the issue is that we've got the instruments to do the work, righto? We've got the Mark, isn't it? Yeah, we got to Mark, and Mark said, oh, listen, you know, I'm a little bit, you know, I've got a job to do. I've got my mum and dad have got a birthday party on down, and I've got other things to do. I don't really think I've got the time to come on this kind of a missions trip. I wasn't expecting to be on a missions trip, but Aiden has a dream. This man of God has a dream for people, to change people's lives, to make sure that people are set free and brought to God. I really needed them. I'm going to shift this up a little bit. What's your name? Yeah, you. Huh? Yeah. Come here, Mrs. Reluctant. A woman of God. A woman of God. Now, I need a paralytic.
Oh.
Yeah, oh. Oh. So can we turn around and look at the church? She's a paralytic. Right? What do paralytics do? What do they do? Huh? What does a paralytic do? Come on.
Just lie down.
They've got nothing else to do, huh? Just lie down. Oh, yeah. That's okay. Just lie right out there. Yeah. Lie down. No, no, you're a paralytic. You can't move. You've got to get down. Come on. Paralytics don't know how to be paralytics. Well, how are we going to lift the ceiling out of the place? Okay, we need another one. We need another brother to help us. What's your name, brother? Yeah, you, handsome. Come here. Yeah, you're reluctant too, eh?
Yeah.
I don't want to go 16 kilometres down the road. I've got a girlfriend. I've got other things to attend to. I've got makan to do. I've got all this stuff. I don't really want to do it. But Aidan's got a dream. He's got a vision. No one can see it, but it's in here. It's arising over his spirit, over his mind. He's a man of God. He knows if we can get this paralytic to the house where Jesus is preaching, just maybe, they might get saved. They might get saved. Not just saved, might get healed, may walk again. Wow, what a dream. Now, most people would look at Aidan and they would say, oh, he's a little bit fanatical, you know. I mean, paralytics, dragging them all the way to the never-never and getting them healed and getting them free. I mean, I don't know whether I can fortify that dream. I don't know whether I can really believe that dream can come to pass, but it can, Aidan. Oh, yeah, God can use you, brother. He can turn your life around, change you. So what they've got to do is they've got to get the paralytic to the house where Jesus is. When they get to the house where Jesus is, what's your name there, bro? Hey?
Sussy.
Come here, Sussy. Come here, bro. We need your help. We need your assistance, Sussy. Come here. Come right down here, Sussy. Come right down here. Right. Come and stand right here where I am like that. Put your arms out like this, right? That's the boy. That's the one. Righto, we've got to get the paralytic to the house where Jesus is preaching. So pick her up. Got to pick her up. Come on, leader. I've got to organise these men. Come on, we've got to pick her up. Come on. Leg each, arm each. Come on, there's four of you. God chose four for a reason. Pick her up, that's it, good. Hey, Mark, you're supposed to help. Yep, that's why you're called. All right, hold, stop. That's it, good. I had to get you to my coaching clinic, you four. Got to work on you. They get to the house, and when they get to the house, the funny thing that they get to the house is when they get to the house, they find the house full. The house is completely full. Nobody gets in, nobody gets out. Seems like the church, isn't it? Ever we want to bring a kind of unchurched person or someone that needs Christ or something, there's so many people in the church that are believers, we can't get the unbelievers in the place. And it's like that, isn't it? Sometimes the crowds of the church are there, but really the people that really need God, we can't get them through the door. And the reason why we can't get them through the door is we've got a bouncer on the door right there like this. Look. We've got a security guard, a bouncer on the door that says, you cannot come through the door. It's too packed. Aidan, come over here where I can see you. Come to me, Aidan. You're helping me preach this ministry, right? Don't worry. We've got Aidan. We've got a man of vision. We've got a man of dream. We've just walked so many miles. We've got to the place. He's not going to give in lightly. Losing your hair a bit there, brother. I have to pray for you. All right? He's not going to give in lightly. He's got to the house and he started to think, and all these other guys saying, oh, I told you, it's a ridiculous story coming all the way down here. I knew it was going to happen. Limitations immediately. Every time you've got a dream or a vision, you're going to face a limit. You're going to face an obstacle. You're going to face a circumstance. You're going to face something that's going to stand against that dream and vision that you've got for God. And you're going to have to come up with a conclusion of how we're going to break that ceiling, how we're going to break that limit in our lives, how we're going to be determined to get through no matter what the obstacle or the circumstance may be, eh? Isn't that right?
Yeah, a man of vision, a man of a dream. Good looking man too, you need to get married. Are you married yet? No, we'll work on that one, righto. Anyway, righto, so cripples down, paralytics down. So now what we've got to do is, what did he do? What did the four nameless men in the scripture do? They put her on a roof. Huh? So we need to get her on a roof. That's the roof there, the platform, the station. We need to get her on a roof. See the limits? Look, oh, I don't know whether I can do it. Yes, you can. You're the dreamer. You've got to tell these guys, we've got to get her on the roof. Every one of you. Come on. Yep. Come on. Pick her up. Pick her up. That's it. Come on, Mark. Grab a hand. Mark, get in there and help. Come on, Mark. Come on, get her up. That's it. Lift her right up there. That's it. Cut her on there. Come on, lift her up. Get her up. Yeah, good, good. Keep going. Good, good, good. Ha! Ha, 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 ha. Hey, 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 hey. Ha, 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 ha. Now, Mark is thinking already. And so is Jaden. They're thinking already. What are we doing on this roof? Don't worry, we've got a visionary. We've got a visionary. If we could just tear this roof, a hole in the roof. Oh, hang on, tearing a hole in the roof. Now, that's tough. That's tough. Are you married? No? You two are married, aren't you? You two. You're not dating her, are you? Are you still doing it? Yeah, I'm doing that with my wife. I date her all the time, but we're married. Okay, can you two come, please, and help us here? Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you. Come and stand over here. Come and stand here. Fantastic. Great. Come and stand here. All right, this is Peter and his wife. Pretty good, eh? They own the house. Peter's missus has been working for 24 hours all round the house to make sure the house is presentable. The man of God is coming to the house. She's making sure the toilet and the faucet, she's making sure the water's running well, she's making all the floors really good, she's getting all the makan together, she's got all the daughters round cooking, rah, 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 and she's into the husband. Did you fix the plumbing in the back of the house? No, get off your butt and start fixing the plumbing, huh? We got Jesus coming to our house. And so he reluctantly says, oh, yeah. The woman is always the leader at the house. You understand that? Are you being married? Being married as long as I am, I'm telling you.
Very true.
Yeah, exactly. I can't move the lounge anywhere in the house. If I do, I'm out. I mean, that lounge is more priceless than I am. It's an immovable object, okay? So what's happened is they're in the house and all of a sudden they look up and they see these four fellows looking down through a hole in the roof of the house. These four looking down through the hole in the house. Righto? And they let the paralytic down. Did you notice that? That they didn't just throw her in the hole. I mean, why not? I mean, she's paralytic. We're not going to hurt her anymore. We could just throw her straight off the platform. Boom, hit the ground. I mean, Jesus is there. The healer is there. No problems. Can we thank every single person that's helped us today? Thank them. And let's give the Lord a hand.
Thank you, Aidan. Thank you, sir. Bless you. Thank you, everybody. You're fantastic. The scriptures declare that from this particular circumstance and situation that the paralytic got healed. She walked home. Ain't that great? They didn't carry you home. You walked home. Is this your mum or who's your relations? Your mum here, is it? that your mama? I picked that up. Your sister? Yeah. For the first time they saw you walk. Your mum and your sister. Huh? What about all the other relations and friends of yours? Wow. Watching you walk, you've never walked before in your life. Thank you for having a dream and a vision to change a person's life, because the glory of God is walking around instead of a cripple on the floor. There are miracles all over our world. People that are crippled in some way, they might not be crippled physically, they may be crippled in a spiritual sense, they may be crippled in a mental sense, in a capacity of their mind. Our church at home, we run a disability group of 200 people, and we have workers all over the place looking after our community of people who are disabled. And they come to our church, and we believe God every week that God would touch them, minister their lives and change their very hearts. But we've got other people in our community too, people that are depressed, oppressed, people that are alcoholics, people that are drug addicts. We've got people with such problems in their lives that are insurmountable in business, and people that are on a regular basis committing suicide. We got young ladies in our communities that are aborting children that they had. No matter what circumstance it was, they had a child and they're aborting them. We have people all over the world that have paralytic problems. They're disabled. But when they get free and they're the walking substance of God, the kingdom amasses and grows around that liberation in that life. As a church, when we get liberated by God, and we were paralytics, when we get free and we begin to start to walk again with God, there's a radiance of God's glory and power and potential in our lives that we do not really realize, we do not understand. But God created that circumstance so that you could give glory to Him and glorify Him in your setting, in your life, in your circumstance, in your situation. But when we set limits of God over our circumstance and situation, then we're in a particular dangerous position, because the Bible says that 1 John 5 verse 4, it says, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our progressive faith, our belief in God, our belief to trust God no matter what our circumstances are, that God's got something great for our lives. He's going to do something wonderful in us. So every time we come to church on Sunday, church is not just a meeting, a gathering for me to and then me to go out and have a macana. No, church is an invasion. It's me coming and my life being invaded by God. Come and take my space. Come invade the world in which I live in. Thank you for your worship. Thank you for worshiping today. Your worship was amazing, great level, and it was a great experience for me to be refreshed on the front row and get into God and allow God to shape the dream and the call of God that's in my life. That's why we come to church. We don't come to church just to meet with each other and macan after church. We come to meet with the Saviour. We come to meet with the glorious one. We come to meet with God who can shift ceilings in our lives and demonstrate change in the world in which I need God to change me in. I'm facing some circumstances in my own world that I know that God is going to shift, He's going to change, He's going to make preparations to do me good in. So I'm not going to be doubtful, I'm not going to be fearful, I'm not going to draw back. I'm going to believe that God has got greater days ahead of me. It's the victory that overcomes the world and the faith that I have in Him that brings me into an alignment with what God wants to do. So the Bible declares only belief, resistance, intimidation, and fear get turned around once you begin to step out of your self-imposed barrier. Sometimes the barriers that we got in our life, we say, well, I wouldn't be the person I was if it wasn't for that mum and dad I got.
Your mum and dad are fantastic. You just got to see it. Well, I'd be a better person if I went to a better educational institution. You went to an institution that give their best for you. Every other circumstance, we can blame that for the person that I am. Instead of saying, God, I want to be all that you call me to be, you created me to be, and I'm not going to impose barriers upon my steps, upon the steps of faith. Or am I going to withdraw back? I'm going to hold fast without wavering and see the glory of God come over my life. Do you think the paralytic went home and just did the same thing that she did before? Do you think she went home and just lied on the floor at home and allowed mum to bring the macan and mum to do this and mum to do that? She's all of a sudden become a contributor. All of a sudden become something that's amazing. If you look at it, the greatest churches of the world started to erupt around the miracles of Christ. They went back to their region. Those four nameless men, the four reluctant ones, Mark and Jaden. And I forgot the other young man's name, but those men were shifted and changed because Aidan had a dream and convinced them that there was nothing greater than the pursuit of God. Nothing greater than pursuing God. Nothing else can satisfy. Nothing else can replace. So when you identify your limit barrier, and you must identify that, I want you to take a look at that in the next minute or two, to identify the things that are limiting your world, limiting your capacity, limiting your potential, limiting your vision in God. When you identify those personal barriers, rely on divine strength. Because your strength and your power are not going to do it. We're not going to do it in the arm of our own reach, in the arm of our own potential, the arm of our own lives. We need to let God, we need to let go and allow God. Come on, church. Come on, church. God wants to shift us here today. We're going to let go and allow God to do what he wants to do in our life. Aidan, let go. What you think your position is, what you think you can do, what you think that you can be. God may want you to be one of the greatest ministers of this nation. I don't know what the potential is over your life, but there's a dream over you. Rise up and be the man of God God called you to be. It may mean that God shifts you out of this place and moves you into another place. There's all sorts of other areas of God when God wants to do something in your life. He enables you because he gives you divine strength to do it. See, give God the permission to move your position to the one that he has in mind for you. See, we position ourselves, don't we? Oh, God, I think I can only just do this capacity. You better think again. Because your limited capacity limits the capacity that God wants for your life. And so you need to raise through it and raise beyond it. Philippians chapter 3:13 says, I can do all things. Did it say half? I can do half things. I can do a little measure. I can do a little bit. No, I can do all things through who? Christ who what? Strengthens who? Strengthens me. Strengthens me. Whoo! Not just Aidan, but strengthens me. Strengthens my life to be what he called me to be. I can't be a preacher in my own ability, in my own strength. I'm going to be what God intended for me to be. God wants you to use your life and give you the opportunity to expand your ability to be a blessing into the eternal legacy that God has got for your life. God's got a kingdom. He wants you to be involved in it and in and through your personal activity in his church and through the development of your faith, you can arise and be what God called you to be. When I came to church for the first time in my life, I sat on the back row, just like everybody else is sitting here today. I sat on the back row. I had no idea that God was going to, in the next 10 years, change and shape the world that I existed in and put me on platforms all over the place to minister and preach his word. We don't know what God's got planned for our lives, but we do know that we need to take the position of faith. Faith is interesting. It's challenging. And unless you're prepared to walk in faith, you will always remain just a step outside of God's open heaven. What is it that God wants you to do? Was it to give a bigger offering? Was it to go to your neighbour and tell them about Christ? Was it to get a vision to go somewhere and do something good for God? Was it to leave your comfort zone where you are to be a missionary or a man of God? Or to change and shift employment so that I could be used more by God? What is the challenge? What is the limitation that is set over your life? Is it, oh, my body's too old and frail? The time I see my sons are now retiring from rugby, I remember when they started retiring from it, I say, oof, your body won't last, your spirit does. Our movements in our early days as a church had great moves of God on Sunday mornings. When I was a young kid, I saw wheelchairs, people in wheelchairs get out and walk. When I was a young boy in the Lord, I saw people with deaf ears who could not hear a thing, never heard their whole life, hear for the first time. And we used to sing this song when we were younger. Sorry, I can't sing. I'm like a frog, right? But I'll try. We used to sing this song. It says, I walk by faith, each step by faith, to live by faith. I put my trust in you. Every step I take, it is a step of faith. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every prayer I make is a prayer of faith. And if our God is for me, then who can be against me? Because I walk by faith in the sight of what God wants to do in my life. And then I'm free from clutter, free from damage, free from circumstances that hold me back. Okay, finally, long preacher, this Australian preacher, but I am finishing. I'm finishing with this. Church, can you stand up on the inside and prophesy over your circumstance? You don't need to be a prophet to do it. You can prophesy over the very circumstances that you're in and it will change your world. Realigning with your foundations, grounded and rooted in revelation, continues to be the wellspring from which I draw from personally in my own personal life. To prophesy over doubt, over fear, to prophesy over circumstances that are arrayed against me, to see the kingdom of God rise over me and through me to be what God called me to be. You know, Elisha the prophet in 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 2, he said, the officer on whose arm the king was leaning said to the man of God, look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of the heavens, could this happen? Elisha speaks out prophecy. You will see it with your own eyes, answered Elisha, but you will not eat of any of it, with your mouth. The city of Samaria was engulfed in a massive attack from what they call Ammonites. And they arrayed around the city and they were as a fortress and they held the city for months. Nothing came in and nothing came out. Outside of the city were four lepers. And I'll do that one day for you, for four lepers. These four lepers, they decided that may as well go to the enemy and give up and turn ourselves in. At least we might get food, or they're going to kill us anyway because we're starving to death in front of the city. They went out
found that the army had left. The army that was encamped there had gone. God had created a voice that came through that sounded like an army, and they fled for their lives, leaving the whole camp deserted. The lepers went into the tent, got all the gold, ate everything they could, and took the gold and hid it in the desert. Then they came back to the camp again, and they said they got a bolt of revelation. Should we go back to the city and tell them that the army's gone? They get back to the city. The king was a little bit kind of what we call this skeptical. I don't think what they're saying is a trap. I don't know what we can do. They had four horses left. Four. The rest of them had gone. I wonder where they went. But anyway, there's only four left. So they sent four men on a horse out. Sure enough, they came back with all this food. When the city had found out that the food, that there was food available, they all charged to the front gate. Here was the king's agent standing in the front of the gate. He got trampled to death in the gate. He saw the prophecy come to pass, but he never partook of it. Sometimes we just got to prophesy to our circumstances. I tell you, fear, in the name of Jesus, you don't reside here. Go. I tell you, doubt, in the name of Jesus, what you think I can be, doubt, what God tells me I can be is completely separate, completely different. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You are no longer in my house. I tell you, sickness, I tell you, poverty, I tell you, whatever it is that's a limitation in my life, I tell you, I speak to you in the authority in the name of Jesus. Whatever limits are over this church or leadership or people within the hearing of my voice today, Father, there is nothing beyond you, oh God. You can break through every limit. Cause, God, your glory to rise over every life and bring people into an amazing new experience in you. Oh God, I thank you. Break through in Jesus' wonderful name. Come on. Let's stand and give him the praise. Come on, stand. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Let's begin to praise him.